You're listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
July the 10th, 2019, President Trump issuing another warning to Iran, saying that Iran has long been secretly enriching in total violation of that terrible $150 billion deal made by John Kerry and the Obama administration. And remember that deal, he says, was to expire in a short number of years. And he points out again, Iran has been secretly enriching anyway, and sanctions will be increased, he said, substantially. In the meantime, the U.S. ambassador to international organizations in Vienna told a gathering of the International Atomic Energy Agency, Iran's recent moves to enrich uranium behind the deal's limits amount to nuclear extortion. That's right. Iran said, we're going to go ahead and do what we want to. We're going to go past the 3.67. We're going to go to 4.5 and even more. And it claims it's justified in breaching the limits because we withdrew. Other parties of the deal, Russia, Germany, China, France, Britain, European Union, asking it, stick with the commitment. They were never going to stick with it anyway. If you thought so, never mind. You're beyond hope. Here's what we've got coming up over the next 2 hours. We're going to spend a lot, if not all, of the first hour on Megan Rapinoe and her attitude, absolute stinking attitude today when she and her teammates were given a ticker tape parade in New York City. The woman stood there smirking during our national anthem. Wouldn't put her hand up over her heart and just sat there smirking. Now, I got a call last night from someone who said, you're taking this whole Olympic win. I mean, not the Olympic, but the women's win, and you're trying to politicize it. I'm trying to politicize it. She's the one who started it when she started saying, I'm not going to go to the effing White House. Now, we're going to get into that because there's a lot to be said about it. And I've got three terms to describe the woman, three polite civil terms. We'll get into that a little bit later. And also, is it possible that President Trump has a secret agent, a secret political agent inside the Democrat Party, posing as a Democrat, but is actually doing things at the direction of Trump? And, of course, we also have the Democrats rushing forward again, saying, these kids in cages, this is just unfair the way we're treating kids at the border. Look at these kids in cages. And that story blew up in their face when they realized, oh, those pictures were from the Obama administration. And here's a question for you. Be honest, if suddenly you're driving down the highway and a Brinks truck door flies open and thousands of dollars of cash are all over the highway, are you going to stop and grab it and keep it? Yeah, be honest. Oh, by the way, before we make our break, I told you last night how the founder of Black Entertainment Television is praising President Trump. He said, I think the economy is doing great. African-American unemployment at its lowest level, Hispanic unemployment, women. He said, I give the president a lot of credit. That's what he's saying. He also says, my party needs to find a message because they have gone too far to the left. That is the founder of Black Entertainment Television. And today he came out and praised President Trump again, praising President Trump for how he's keeping maximum pressure on Iran. That's right. He says, I like what the president's doing. I think the president has taken the right position in saying to the Iranians, look, I'm not looking for a fight, but I'm looking for a change in the nuclear arms agreement as related to the processing of nuclear weapons. And again, the founder of Black Entertainment Network says, I'm with Trump. I love it. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer and can save you a lot of unnecessary fear. One client called frantic. A test sample for an indoor swimming pool showed evidence of Legionella bacteria. Well, that meant the entire pool would have to be drained, then washed with acid. But Wellington Environmental found the pool was safe. The test sample was a false positive. In another case, a homeowner said a buyer had just backed out of a closing. The building inspector claimed he had found evidence of mold in a closet. That could be scary. Could certainly cost the deal. Wellington Environmental found it was not mold. It was traces of asphalt from the wheels of a suitcase. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Here is your red meat, Megan Rapinoe, and how she acted today at this ticker tape parade to the canyons of New York City. This was supposed to be a time of praising and honoring our U.S. women's soccer team, and they in turn praising and honoring this nation. It was not a two-way street. I had posted earlier at Larry Connors USA Facebook that we were going to cover this subject this evening. Some comments already coming in. You can go to Larry Connors USA Facebook and add your comments. Gary saying, I think Megan has the Obama syndrome. I hear a lot of I and me, not too much of we as a team. It's all about her. And Joseph says, I won't cheer or honor her. She's in America. Let her go to some Middle East country, see how she'll be treated. And Barry said, just read a story about an Iranian rock band sentenced to a combined 14 years in prison, 74 lashes, for disrespecting the leader of their country. Well, of course, we don't do that in this country. We allow free speech. But just because you have a right to do it doesn't mean it is the right thing to do. So the caller last night said, Larry, why are you attacking her and our women's soccer team? I'm not attacking them. I'm attacking what they're doing and standing for. At least she is, and she's coercing other players to do the same thing. He said, well, you're politicizing, which would be a great honor for our country. I repeat again, just like two kids, she started it, but she did. She did. And I will agree with Gary. Make no mistake, it's all about her. Her. So what happened today during the ticker tape parade when they reached the stadium? I mean, where they reached the platform where they all got off so they could address the crowd. And they then had the national anthem played. I wonder who thought up that idea. They're probably being chastised. Say, why did you do that? Why did you play the national anthem? You're just trying to create trouble. And on top of that, U.S. flags flanked either side of her and the team. U.S. flags, and she's there with a jersey with USA on it. And what did she do during the national anthem? She refused to put her hand over her heart. Other players did. She refused to sing the national anthem. Other players did. And she stood there with a smirk. I mean, an absolute pig-smiling smirk on her face, smirking during our national anthem. And then she made an address. And I watched Don Lemon tonight, Don Lemon Fruitcake, back on my bad list. Do I say Don Lemon Fruitcake? I want to clarify something. Somebody said, are you talking about his sexual preference when you say Don Lemon Fruitcake? You're trying to make fun of him as being a homosexual? No, no. I don't care what his sexual preference is. I care about his political attitude and his opinion. And to that, he's a fruitcake, Don Lemon Fruitcake. But he was praising her and saying, this was an astounding speech, a roaring speech, a unifying speech, because she preached and spoke out repeatedly, we as Americans need to have more love, to love more, to hate less. This is my charge to everyone. We have to be better. We have to love more, hate less. We've got to listen more and talk less. We've got to know that this is everybody's responsibility. And yet she doesn't do it because she is slandering and attacking the president on a constant basis, saying, I'm not going to the mother effing White House. And she likes to throw that word around, by the way, while she's on a live microphone in New York City. She said, New York City is the mother effing best. Well, it's too late for censors to grab it. It's done. And they had a lot of kids out there in the audience, and they were all applauding, and they probably want to be like Megan, want to get their hair done like hers. I don't know, and I know how children go. That's okay. But somewhere along the line, I hope the parents say, look, there are some good things to admire her about her, her athletic ability, her desire to compete. That's all good. I praise that. But the way she reacts to this country and how she treats the U.S., I want to tell you something. I can think of several labels, several terms to describe Rapinoe, and I'll go through some of them for you after this break.
You can follow Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA, at LarryConnorsUSA.
Bed bugs. Ugh, they can show up everywhere. Oh, sure, your house is clean, but you take a trip, they might come back with you. Luggage, clothing. Rottner has a unique way to locate bed bugs within minutes. Rottner has two dogs trained to do the job. Clue and Hazel, very cute, very effective. Go to Rottner.com and get more information. Rottner Pest and Lawn Solutions, serving this area since 1956. To get rid of any pest, Rottner.com.
I started singing bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them old boys were drinking whiskey and rye and singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I love this audience. I hear from you in so many different ways by text, emails, personal contact, and some of you, of course, you're absolutely loyal. I can tell that. I've got one that's questioning if I'm doing the wrong thing, that I might be too conservative in costing myself listeners and sponsors. I'll address that later. But as I was saying in the previous segment, talking about Don Lemon Fruitcake, how he was praising Rapinoe and her speech, calling for basic love and less hate, and yet she preaches the opposite when it comes to the leader of the country. Andrew in Chicago coming through, sending me a text, and I open it up. It's from NPR. I think, well, what could this be? And it's a recipe on how to make a lemon fruit cake. Thanks, Andrew. I appreciate it. Yeah, that's one way I described him. That's true. And also got an unnamed text coming in saying, oh, Bobby, I'm sorry, says that Rapinoe needs to leave her politics out as she's representing our country. I couldn't agree more, Bobby. I mean, she's entitled to have her view and her say, but especially when she was at the games to basically verbally assassinate our country, our culture, our president, because it doesn't suit her. And at the same time, she is representing this nation in those games. I agree fully with you. So I do have several terms to describe her. I got three of them. One of them actually also tied to an article that Andrew had called my attention to. I'll get to that a little bit later. Well, here are the three terms. Twit, and I'm telling you, I'm taking the least offensive terms I could use. She's a twit. She's also a bully. And she is an ugly American. I'm not talking about her looks. I'm talking about her actions. Now, let me go through some of this with you. She is a twit. Now, what is a twit? Something gets got to be a nasty thing. Got to be a nasty thing, especially reference a woman. Well, the exact definition from Merriam-Webster is, a silly, annoying person. A fool. Yep, that would be it. She is a twit. A silly, annoying person, a fool. Is she a great athlete? Yes. Did she help the team win? Yes. Could she represent our country and make us all proud? Yes, she could, but she won't, because she thinks you're to blame. If you voted for Trump, you're to blame for everything wrong in this country. And so, therefore, when it came to the issue of going to the White House, her attitude is, I'm not going to the effing White House. And at that time, they hadn't won anything. And the president said, well, they hadn't won, let me put it this way, they hadn't won the cup. The president said, why don't you win first, then we'll see. But then later the president said, look, I'm going to invite you guys anyway. Win, lose, or draw, I want you to come to the White House. They're not going to go. And here's what Rapinoe had to say today. She says, I don't think anyone on this team has any interest in lending the platform that we worked so hard to build and the things that we fight for and the way that we live our life. I don't think that we want that to be co-opted or corrupted by this administration. Obviously a rebuke of President Trump. Now, since they have won, after they won Sunday, the president congratulated them. He said, I hadn't really thought now if I'm going to invite them or not. There's no sense doing it because they're not going to go. And why? Well, that gives us the other term describing Megan Rapinoe, a bully. She is basically intimidating other members of her team. When she says, I don't think anyone on this team has any interest in going to the White House, she's making it clear to them, you will not have any interest. You will not go to the White House. I keep hoping some members of that team will say, you know what, Megan, you're entitled to your opinion. But I'm entitled to mine, too, and I think it's an honor to go to the White House. Even if I disagree with this president and his politics, I'm going to go representing our team and what we accomplished for this nation. But I doubt anybody on that team has that kind of courage, because she is being the bully. And, of course, she, the other night on CNN, was asked, well, if you met President Trump, what would you say? And she said, your message is excluding people. You're excluding me. You're excluding people that look like me. You're excluding people of color. You're excluding Americans that maybe support you. That's not true at any point. Message excluding people. He's tried to bring people together. He's just said we will protect our borders. Excluding people that look like me. I don't know what that's supposed to be. I guess reference that she doesn't look totally female, doesn't look totally male. That's her look. I could care less. And then you're excluding people of color? Have you not looked at those supporting Trump among Latinos and Black Americans and Asian Americans? He's not excluding them either. She has made herself the star. And the media loves it, and they're building it up. And you know where they're going with us now? I told you the other day it was going to happen. They're already talking about, wow, politics with her. Politics. Oh, by the way, before I forget, Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York City, was asked about all these players turning down the invitations to go to the White House. Now, they are apparently going to go see Chuck Schumer in the Senate and Nancy Pelosi in the House. But Megan Rapinoe and other members have stated we will not go if invited. And he said, Mayor Bill de Blasio, who's running for the White House, said this president has created a hyper-political White House. A lot of women have been offended. And he said it speaks volumes if they don't want to go to the White House. It doesn't speak volumes. It speaks to your political narrative is what it speaks. They don't want to go, they don't go. That's fine. That's their option. And no, we're not going to hang them up by their thumbs and give them 40 lashes like they might have in that ban in Iran that we were talking about earlier. They're entitled to do this. But now we have the mass media rushing forward, and they're already saying, wonder which candidate she's going to endorse. And I heard today on one of the networks saying, whichever candidate she endorses, that will not be a minor thing. That will be a major event. That's right. You've got Senator Elizabeth Warren trying to cozy up to her, You've got Senator Kamala Harris saying, hey, hey, look over here, come over here. And they're all trying to get her to stand with them at some future political rally. They're going to, let's go back to something she said real quick. I don't think that we want to be co-opted or corrupted by this administration. But she is going to allow herself and her team, the moment they get on stage with some or one or more of these Democrat candidates, allow themselves to be co-opted or corrupted. They are. And, of course, then there are those who are saying maybe she will run for the White House or run as a vice president or run somewhere for politics because right now she could have everything. And the other term I told you I have for her, I mentioned, and I'm talking about the most civil terms I can come up with, being a twit, a silly, annoying person, a fool, a bully, who basically says, no one else on our team is going to go. Are you girls? I can stand here and smirk while the national anthem's being played, and all of you go and put your hands over your heart, and you sing the national anthem while we're surrounded by U.S. flags, and I have a U.S. emblem on my jersey, but I can stand here and smirk and just basically spit in the face of Americans. And there were crowds up and down that parade today waving U.S. flags, and that had to probably tick her off to no end because many of them are patriots, and they're honoring the team standing up for our country. She is the one not honoring our country in turn. So that makes her the other term, the ugly American. I'll explain when we continue.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I would imagine many in this audience had read the 1958 political novel titled The Ugly American. If you didn't read the book, maybe you saw the movie that came out in 63 by the same title starring Marlon Brando. If you have not read the book nor seen the movie, I encourage you to get it. It was considered the most influential American political novel of the time. The authors, William Lederer, an American author and captain of the U.S. Navy, Eugene Burdick, an American political scientist, they were disillusioned with the style and substance of U.S. diplomatic efforts in the U.S. diplomatic corps in Southeast Asia. JFK was so impressed, he sent a copy to each of his colleagues in the U.S. Senate. It was one of the biggest sellers in the U.S. And again, I say it is one of the most influential American political novels. The main purpose of this book was to show how Americans go into a foreign country and just, like a bull in a china shop, we're USA, we're America, we're here. And that was not what was a good idea at that time. And you had Russia and China and other foreign countries as they went into different locations. They learned the language. They learned how to deal with the cultures and everything else. Whereas U.S. citizens, as they were described in the plot summary, live pretentiously. And they are loud and ostentatious. Live pretentiously, loud and ostentatious. Andrew sent me a copy of an article from The Bulwark. Now, The Bulwark, in case you have not read it or seen it, is an American conservative news and opinion site. Commentators Charlie Sykes and Bill Kristol started it. It kind of involved the core digital staff of the Weekly Standard. And they put out different articles both on the website and in print. And one of the writers had just done a piece about an open letter to Megan Rapinoe from America, writer Joel Engel. I want to jump to the end where he's talking about the ugly American, then I'll go back over some of the beginning of it. And he's referencing, again, his open letter to Megan Rapinoe and says, "You're probably too young to remember a term that used to be thrown about wherever Americans traveled after World War II, the ugly American. It was a pejorative." He goes on to say it was demeaning, thoughtless, ignorant, ethnocentric behavior of American citizens. That's what it was referring to. And he says to Megan in his open letter, "Given that USA is on your jersey, we were embarrassed to hear that sentiment directed at you and the team, beginning with your 13-0 slaughter of Thailand in the first cup game." Listen, there was no reason to keep running that score up at that point. I know they went, but why? Do you let them up off the field? No, but you don't have to go as they did. But aside from that, put that aside. And he said, then when USA celebrate each goal as if that goal were the cup clincher, he said, "We were embarrassed for you then." And then when Alex Morgan mimed drinking a cup of tea after scoring against England. And then you guys say, well, men aren't criticized for similar displays. And the author points out that's why baseball is our national pastime, not football nor basketball, or for that matter, soccer. Because in baseball, players do not show up the other team and do not show up other players. They do their thing and go on. And like with, I've been so ticked off myself at NFL. You score a touchdown, you dance around, you pull out a marker, you mark your jersey, you mark something. Can you not act like you've been there before? That maybe you've scored before, or does it have to be something, I've never done this before, so I'm going to dance around and roll around, and all my friends and all my teammates are going to gather around, and they're going to high-five me, and then we're going to jump and roll on the ground. Why? But it's one thing here doing it in this country. Doing it in a foreign country, and they're watching, and just reemphasizes the ugly American, as it was described, as I said a moment ago, living pretentiously, loud, and ostentatious. So, to the beginning of the letter that Joel Engel wrote to Megan Rapinoe in the Bulwark, I really like the way it begins. Well, I like a lot about it, and I appreciate Andrew calling my attention to it. I try to stay on top of a lot of different pieces. Folks, I start preparing for this. I would say I prepare for the program starting 4 hours before the program comes in and before it starts, and that is true, but actually, that's just when I get to the studio. All through the day, tonight, I'll be picking up pieces, putting them aside, looking for building on them tomorrow, or maybe by tomorrow they'll be useless and I'll go into something else. But anyway, I don't see everything, so I appreciate every piece of insight that comes to me. Can't use all of it, can't use all of what I select. But here's the way this open letter to Megan Rapinoe from America, as written by Joel Engel, says. First, let us congratulate you and your teammates on a sensational World Cup championship. You made us proud. I don't know how many times I've said that. Well, I'm very proud of this team and what they accomplished. I am. And he goes on to say, you know us, right? The country you represented so ably on the pitch? Because, hope this doesn't sound weird, we've kind of had some small role in your success. No question you worked for what you accomplished with the talents you were fortunate to be blessed with. But never forget you had the opportunity to do so, that you made the most of these opportunities. Delights us is what we're all about. But we do wonder why you discount the privilege you enjoyed of having those opportunities that are, sad to say, deprived to most people around the world. Stop and think for a moment. How many times are Americans, I should say conservatives, being challenged by liberals? You have white privilege. You have age privilege. You had economic privilege. He is pointing out that these players have had a privilege that many in other countries trying to put their soccer teams together have never had. They are privileged. He goes on to say, correct us if we're wrong, but our understanding is that most or all of you and your teammates came from middle-class homes, or better, and were allowed and encouraged to take up organized sports at early ages. All or most of you went to college, and I'd be surprised if any of you paid full tuition. And he goes on and makes this remark. Let's be honest. If you are a female soccer player, being born in America is like winning the lottery. And I would add, being born in America for any of us is like winning the lottery. How many people are trying to get out of this country? Oh, they'll say, they'll threaten, oh, if Trump's elected, I'm going to leave. They didn't leave. They're still here. We were offering to pack their bags and help them leave, but they didn't. How many want to come into this country? From all over the world, they want to come to this country. But back to his article. If you're a female soccer player, being born in America is like winning the lottery. The U.S. women's teams have now won 4 World Cup titles, 4 Olympic gold medals, 8 gold cups, and that's the kind of domination no national team in any country, in any sport, male or female, has ever achieved. Something must be going right with America and support of our women's athletics. USA, USA. And then he adds, so we're kind of confused the other day when you explained your refusal to sing the national anthem. We're not quite sure what upsets you. You said, I think for detractors, I would have them look hard into what I'm saying and the actions that I'm doing. Maybe you don't agree with every single thing I do, and that can be discussed. And he says, well, back at you, are we not entitled to the same doubt, that we have doubt as to why you're doing it, what your purpose is? It's a very well-written piece. He does get into the issue of slavery, because that's something Megan Rapinoe has suggested, that, listen, this country, that flag, that's back to, of course, Colin Kaepernick, and his original thought. But again, this is different than doing something on an NFL football team league in our nation. This is representing our nation in a foreign country. And he deals with that issue of importation of slaves. He says it was wrong. He said in 2% of our country's population, 4% of the men died fighting a civil war to end slavery. No other country did that. Had there been racial issues and prejudice since then? Absolutely. Then he points this out, and I noticed this, that this is something I had said the other day in advance of us playing the French. He said, we have a question. Did you notice how loudly and enthusiastically the French players and spectators in that jammed stadium sang their national anthem before your quarterfinal match against France? I did. I made a note of that to you. I told you about it. They all stood. They were clutching each other's arms and shoulders and swaying and singing their national anthem at the top of their voice, whether or not they could sing or not. And the author of this article says, those people adore their anthem. No matter where or when it's played, they stand up straighter, sing at the top of their lungs, frequently holding back tears. He said, for the record, we love France. We do. Without France, we might not be here. Without us, neither would France. But France is not perfect either. They've had their problems, and that's true. He also points out their national anthem, by the way, is a martial song to the sense of preparing for war. It reads, let's go, children of the fatherland. The day of glory has arrived. The bloody flag is raised. The roaring of these fierce soldiers to slit the throats of our sons and our friends, to armed citizens, farm your battalions, may impure blood water our fields. That's a far cry from what we say in our national anthem, isn't it? And he also points out several members of the French team you played against were young women of color. Their families came from former French colonies in Africa, Senegal, Morocco, Tunisia, Cameroon, and as he said, former colonies. Meaning countries like France, competing with other European powers, fought over and occupied for centuries in order to steal their natural resources and enslave their people. He said, that's not something we did. Yeah, we had slavery, but we didn't go capture land to take it over. We didn't. The only land the U.S. has ever taken following a war is just enough land to bury our dead. Megan Rapinoe is an American. She's entitled to have her opinion. She's entitled to act the way she does. It is part of the freedom of speech issue, but as I said, just because you can doesn't mean it's right. And when she was standing up there to say today in New York City, we need more love, less hate, it starts with you, woman. It starts with you. And she did even acknowledge that in part of the speech. She said, there have been so much contention these last years. I've been a victim And then she added, and I've also been a perpetrator. So she's acknowledged that. So here we are in the center of our largest city, a ticker tape parade, one of the greatest things you can do for showcasing anybody in any event in this nation. And she said we need to have more love, hate less. And yet she stood there smirking. A absolute sickening smirk on her face. Her fellow players sang the national anthem, had their hands over their heart. That's why I go back to she's also a bully, because she's telling them, we're not going to go to the White House, are we, girls? She hasn't told them you can't sing the national anthem, but if she were, they would probably roll right over and say, yes, Megan, whatever you say. She is a poor example of sportsmanship. She's a poor example of being an American. She is an ugly American. Loud, ostentatious. Are they like that on the Republican side, conservative side? Trump's? Yep, you could say that. See, I don't draw any quarter in this show. I call out everyone. Is Larry Connors like that? Yeah, I can be loud and ostentatious. I'm sure I'm guilty of it. But I am also still trying to say, I'm going to accept Rapinoe's statement that we need to love more and hate less. But I think it begins by showing love of your country, the very country that's made your life possible, that's made it possible for you to represent this great nation. And yeah, I do have comments coming in that, well, Larry, you're burning bridges. You've got people that might like your show, even more sponsors, if you'd change your tune. I'm not changing. And I'll explain after the lightning round. Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer, especially for our children. A national chain of daycare centers that opened a facility in Washington, D.C. But soon, toxic vapors were discovered leaking from the ground. Wellington Environmental responded and put in a vapor seal so the children were no longer in any danger. Now, in another case, a child was playing with a toy in his basement. And like kids will sometimes do, he was putting the toy into his mouth. He got sick enough to be taken to the hospital. And what had happened? Wellington engineers and a chemist found traces of rat poison. So Wellington professionally cleaned up the danger. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Time for the lightning round. Brought to you by John Beal Roofing. Repair or replace your roof before bad weather. Call John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
There is a professor at the University of Arizona that is suing because this professor wants to have a female-to-male transgender operation and says the University of Arizona and its health care plan should pay the $50,000. The university's been fighting against it. Lawyers for the professor say, you could have spent that $50,000 and already done it, but they're not doing it, not yet. Matt Lauer and his wife are officially calling it quits after 21 years of marriage. Of course, there had been bombshell allegations against the veteran NBC Today newscaster, NBC firing him. Matt Lauer said, I realize the depth of the damage and disappointment I've left behind at home and at NBC. It is a tragic end. So they were all at the Niagara Falls watching the waterfall, 188 feet, and then a guy starts climbing over the retaining wall and jumps into the water. He swept over 188 feet into the raging waters below. He ends up living. Non-life-threatening injuries. He's one of five to survive going over the falls without some kind of protection. Why did he do it? I don't know. All right, so I had a comment come through about how to make the program better. And it begins by me changing and or adding some other content. Let me, first of all, I immediately got a response from Frieda who says, I like the way you do the show. It's one of the programs that gives us facts. I don't think you go overboard on Republicans. You always say your show is opinion. And I thank you, Frieda. And she goes on to say, I hope he stays on the radio for a long time. So do I. But there are forces in the making that I don't know where this show's going to be. It's, yeah, let me just put it this way. There are forces in the making. But all this picks up on a comment from Mike, who said, basically, I'm just thinking there's an abundance of conservative outlets. Would you not capture a wider audience by having a less conservative voice? Not to mention, open up your show to more donors than just conservative sponsors. I answered, I appreciate you thinking of me. The truth is, many conservatives say I'm not conservative enough. Because I will trash Trump from time to time. You know I do that. I defend gay rights. I have numerous times. Even though it's not my lifestyle and it's against what the Bible tells me, but it's their lifestyle. And I leave that to God to pass judgment, not me. And I call out skinheads. Plus, I have praised some of the things said from time to time by some Democrats, even Nancy Pelosi. You listen to the program, you hear that. I did that earlier, as a matter of fact. Mike's response, I think Pelosi's like a lot of politicians, past her time, scatterbrain. He said, I'm just suggesting that I think your show needs opinions from both sides. He said, I'm neither Dem nor Republican, and I just say that Trump's tweets are embarrassing our country. I think sometimes Republicans are right, sometimes Democrats are right. He said, I'm not saying your show is not good, just saying I think there's a niche for a show with two-sided talk. Yeah, there are shows like that, Mike. They are. And on this show, it's predominantly me, although I take phone calls, I take text messages, I read them. Like last night when the guy accused me of taking our great victory in the Women's Cup and politicizing it, and I said, I didn't start that, but it does deserve attention. That's why we spent so much time on it tonight. I often will have callers, and I've even had some guests that are not fully in my line of thinking, but I want you to hear their thoughts. And I guess one of them that comes to mind right away, who got very upset with me a while back, and that would be former New York Congressman John Lebutier. And John and I have a good relationship, but I pushed the button a little bit too hard one night, and he got incensed and angry, saying, well, why are you putting me in with all the Hillary people? I'm not. And I said, well, you seem to have the same attitude on some things. Woo, it got hot. Yeah, it's back in some of the file programs. You can find it if you choose. I am open to everything, and I have a basic fabric after 50-plus years in broadcasting and journalism. I have a basic fabric of fairness. And as I pointed out numerous times, for decades, people watching me on TV had no idea of my politics, and they shouldn't. A news anchor should not be wearing their politics on their sleeve. Today, many do anyway. Some local and certainly on the national scene. But that's not the way it should be. Not if you're doing a job as a, quote, journalist. This program, I'm no longer a journalist, and I do have opinion, and it's mine. And I will say what I want, when I want, how I want. And some folks don't like it. Some listen because they don't like it. Some criticize me. Some support me. It's all part of what we do here. But I do truly appreciate all of you. So coming up, does President Trump have a secret agent inside the Democrat Party? Next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.